Welcome to G Talk. G Talk is a podcast dedicated to helping you discover your purpose by helping you build intimate relationships and a lifestyle of thankfulness. Listen to us today as we discuss a new challenging topic aimed to encourage you and to challenge you, but most importantly, to build you up in your relationships with each other and with God. Stay tuned. Welcome to G Talk. And we are your hosts, Terrence and Adara, and we are coming today live from Dallas. So it's going to sound a little bit different today, honey, isn't it? Because we are in a hotel and just enjoying our Memorial weekend.
Very nice. It's a very beautiful hotel and a great celebration this weekend for us.
Yes. Yeah, this is Memorial weekend is always our anniversary, and it's our birthday, my birthday weekend. So we typically try to get away, and we thought it would be a great opportunity to discuss and talk about family today. And maybe it may go a couple of weeks here. We just felt like it's a great opportunity, but we are coming live, and so you may hear some sounds and noises that you don't normally hear when we're in our home or, you know, locked up in our studio there with everything closed up. But we just felt like it would be great to be able to do this live today. And we are celebrating 36 years of marriage.
36 years.
Yes, in the next day or two here. So, we are really excited about that. You know, raising a family, having our kids now being adults, they now starting to have their families, and you know, it just gives you a whole different perspective. We were visiting a church here locally, and they were talking about family today, and it just seems like it's a topic that I think is worthy of us spending some time talking about. The challenges of family and what it's like to, you know, be married. We've been, you know, people ask us all the time, you know, what's it like being married that long? There's just very few people that you see that's been married for long periods of time today. So many people are raised without families, are raised without at least husband and wife, you know, mom and dad. So this kind of gives us an opportunity to talk a little bit about that and what that feels like, and, you know, maybe some dynamic about what are some of the points about being a couple and how do you really maintain that longevity, being able to communicate through that. But also, you know, we want to talk a little bit about family and the challenges of families today. We've been kind of talking a little bit about how challenging that can be today, being honest and open and having dialogue with your kids and with grandkids and talking about the different pieces that go into that. So where do we start?
Why'd you get married?
To die. For those of us that know, for that know me, you know that that's something I've always said, that marriage is one of those, you know, and the pastor was saying it today. He said it in a different way, but he said the same thing, you know, and I just started laughing when he said it, that, yeah, you know, I just see marriage oftentimes is an opportunity. I think God's kind of brought it so that we can, it's just an area where we can grow, and there's no other ways to grow like in marriage, because you have to, first of all, deny yourself, and you don't realize how selfish and how self-fulfilling you are until you really get into a relationship where you're with somebody else, and you have to think about them and what they want and what they need. And I think that's part of the problem today, is that people are so engulfed with themselves, they don't know how to die to themselves and just become alive for someone else. And I think there's a lot of challenge for all of us. We all have to die with that, and it's tough for all of us.
Yeah, it is. It's been a good journey, challenging journeys, you know, being married 36 years. And, you know, especially because we were just turning 19 at the time, and times were so different then than they are now.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we did have the opportunity to have both of our parents, you know, are still married. Well, my parents are now with the Lord, but
yeah,
your parents are getting ready to celebrate 60 years in the next, you know, month or two.
Yeah.
And so I think for us, we've had some examples of longevity. At the same time, you know, everyone comes when you're getting married. And for us, although we were young, we were going on a path of where we wanted to move with our lives.
Yeah.
And so I know a lot of times some people will say, well, that was so young. But for us, it was really different, I think, than I probably wouldn't recommend people at the age of 19 now getting married. For some people, not everybody, but I think our focal points were much different than a lot of people in their maturity level at that time. But I think when I look at just marriage in general, it was a blessing. It really was. I think because we came in with knowing things that we wanted to do as a couple together. We also knew that we had individual things that we were doing. So I think that was really helpful because sometimes people will go into a marriage expecting the other person to be their knight in shining armor or your Cinderella stories where they live happily ever after and there's never any conflicts or issues, you know? Yeah. And so sometimes, and a lot of times people find that further down the road after, because they kind of think that maybe sex is going to change everything, you know, or that's just going to be the lifeline to marriage, and it's not at all. So I think we all still come in with our own baggage, with our expectations that a lot of times really become issues down the road.
Yeah, and they do.
So
yeah, we all carry baggage. Mm-hmm. I think we don't sometimes realize how that baggage is going to come into our relationship and marriage. And I think when you get married, you just have all the greatest things, expectations, because you're seeing the best in people at that time. I think once you get into marriage, sometimes you stop seeing the best. And I think that's a piece we want to highlight, is mm-hmm. that you have to continue to look at the best in the person that, you know, whether it's your husband or your wife. You have to somehow maintain that, because if not, you know, it can send you down a road where you become negative, and that negativity begins to create an atmosphere that begins to really deteriorate the relationship.
I think that's a key word, is continually seeing the best.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest challenge.
It is.
Because it can go from, well, why do I need to tell the person I love them?
Yeah.
They already know that I love them.
Mm.
No. If you know, it's kind of like saying, should God stop telling us he loved us?
Right.
You know, should he?
Yeah, no.
He loves us.
Yeah.
And there's a relationship that it never grows old, telling someone you love them. And I think the biggest thing is that I think that's where we lose gratitude for what our spouse does for us. And that's where we end up not wanting to see the best anymore, because we're no longer grateful.
Yeah.
And we just basically expect them to do that. And then I think when you look at the part of the best, is that the love that keeps no record.
Yeah.
Because when you think the best, you're not keeping a record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you're not thinking the best, you're keeping a record.
Yeah.
Of the wrongs.
Yeah. We were listening to some things from a pastor down in Atlanta, Andy Stanley, and I thought he had a really good saying. He talked about the box, and I thought it was really good, because he said that, you know, people come together and they bring their boxes, and I like what the way he used it, because he said oftentimes one of several things happens. Either one person dominates the relationship and makes the other person somewhat, you know, help them with their box, but then they have to take their box and kind of like never get to do what's we all have dreams, and that's really where it came around. You know, when you come into marriage, both of you have your own dreams, you have your own desires, you have your own things in your life that you want to go achieve. And part of being a couple is making sure that other one gets, that both of you get to experience your dream. You know, you get to experience it. And he brought that up, how easily sometimes it becomes where you're working on one person's dream and the other person never gets their dream.
Right.
And how painful that can be. And the one that's getting everything, how they don't even see it. It's like, well, what's the problem? You know, everything's great. Well, yeah, it is, because it's all you. Mm-hmm. You know, it all gets to be what you're working towards. And I think, you know, we have to stop and really ask ourselves, am I doing what I can to help my spouse get where they're going, to help them, you know, reach their potential, reach their purpose, and really, and I can just say as men, I think that's a great part of our responsibility that I really feel like gets missed in the church. The Bible says that we're to love, you know, husbands love your wives like Christ loved the church. Well, one of the things Christ does for the church is he helps the church fulfill its purpose and its destiny. And he spends a lot of time helping bring the church up. And I think we get mixed with that as men sometimes, that it's like we're working. It's like I'm doing my job and you're supposed to support me. And I hear this all the time from men. Well, she's supposed to support me. But Christ helped his bride, his wife, his bride, reach her potential. So what does that say about us as husbands? Part of our role is not wives submit, you know, submit to me and help me to fulfill my thing. But it's how can I help you reach your potential? How do I help you fulfill your purpose and destiny? Because both of those come together, you know.
The submitting is both sides.
It's both sides.
So when you're submitting, when I'm submitting to the desires of your heart, you're then submitting to the desires of my heart.
Right.
So then there's no issue.
There should not be.
There shouldn't be, because I'm wanting to see the best of God work through you. You're wanting to see the best of God work through me, the things that he has placed in my heart.
Yeah.
And when we're able to see that through right lenses with one another, there no one feels like they're being slighted.
Right.
Because my focal point is always about how can I bless you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can what is my role, God, for him to pursue and be the things you've placed in his heart to be.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa.
Vice versa.
And when that's flowing, it's good. And part of it is that we don't know.
Yeah.
I think we either just, we come in, like you said, with that box.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we come in that with that box of our dreams, our needs. And the other person, a lot of times, is clueless to what those things are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get frustrated because that person isn't fulfilling, you know, what I have in here. You should know what I have inside my brain.
Yeah, exactly.
You should know what I'm feeling. You should know that I've had this dream for 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
But I know we've had the same challenges.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, growing in our marriage, you know, I think as we begin to, there was a part of growing up in church and the expectations, because of our church was more of a traditional. So there was, for the woman, it was pretty much, you know, lifting the spouse up into his calling and whatever that needed. It wasn't even about denying. It was expected of you. I remember my mom, you know, when you came into the ministry, she had a whole list of the things that I needed to be, I needed to do, because you don't want to bring shame to your husband.
Right.
Everything was, was that you need to stand behind your man, you know, and bring no shame to him, to the church, or to the family, you know, in that order. And, and so there was these, you know, so basically it was never, in that respect, it wasn't about what is it that God has put in your heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was, and so there was things that as we grew in our marriage, we had to learn, you know, through what is God saying as far as for our marriage? How is it that who God's called you to be and who God has called me to be, how does that work in sync into fulfilling God's plan?
Yeah.
You know, and that became, I think we experienced challenges with that.
Yeah, we did. We did. I remember you really struggling. And I think, you know, that the last generation, they were a great generation, but I think one of the things is that, you know, that was a very big part of them in that generation, was it was the wife did a job of just support. And we live in a time now where it's almost like, you know, there's almost an anger. There's an undercurrent of frustration, I think, amongst women, and we're seeing it with so many of the movements that are happening. I think a lot of it is justified because I think women have been held back for so long and not able to reach their potential and their call. And I think now it's kind of like, we're going to do it whether you like us or not, whether, you know, and there's kind of a backlash. And I pray that that doesn't continue, because what I don't want to see happen is for women to get so bitter and angry about it that they go to the other extreme. And there's not blessing in the other extreme. God has called us both to work together. And when we can find balance between that and stay within the guidelines that he has really put in us, I think we can enjoy relationship, but it can really get, and I think we're seeing some of that in some places. And but you're right, we have to learn, you know, to talk about and to bring up what are our dreams, you know, what are the things that are important to us individually, and you know, how do we achieve them, and how do we, and what are the timing for achieving them, you know, what do you spend your time on at this season or that season. And that's going to be unique for every family, every couple. They'll have to determine what's the right time and the right balance. But having the discussion, I think sometimes that's the challenge, is that we don't have the discussion early enough.
Right.
You know, we don't have... One of the things that I'm seeing, too, that's different is with social media and with the internet and all those types of things, one of the things that it's done is it's opened the doors for us to meet people that are so far away from us that we don't have anything in common. And I know that people listening might be thinking, well, I don't understand the big deal. Well, you have to remember, historically, people that have gotten married typically all lived within a very close proximity. They had the same culture growing up. Didn't mean that they were the same race or the same ethnic or anything, but they came from very similar backgrounds. And I believe that's part of what helped them to make it, is they had very similar backgrounds. Today, what's happening is people are meeting on the internet, and one person lives in Alaska, another person lives in Russia. I'm just, you know, throwing names out, and they come together and they're finding they love each other, but then they're finding like they have nothing in common because they've never been able to come and build what we're just talking about, where they know what each other wants to have and what they're looking for and how to get there. And I think a lot of our relationship issues are happening because we are meeting, dating online, and, you know, doing it within 3 months we're together, and not taking the extensive time it takes to really find out what that person is all about, what that person loves, and what's in their heart, their dreams, and whether their dreams aligns with your dreams. Mm-hmm. And that's something that when people ask us, I always say, well, our dreams were aligned. You know, from the beginning, they were aligned. It didn't mean that you were doing everything I was doing, I was doing everything you were doing. But our foundations were very similar. We did have very similar cultural background. And we both knew where we were going. And we were able to talk about that and go, yeah, that, you know, we can do this. That didn't mean that there weren't things that we didn't discuss and realize. We had to kind of grow and deal with that.
Yeah, it was a growing process.
It was.
It was a part of just spending time together. I remember, you know, we first got married, we never talked about like whose home we was going to go to for, that was like our first holiday.
Yeah.
Was Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, it was our first year.
We
got married in May.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So we're like, we just kind of knew, you know, Thanksgiving. And well, I know we're going to my parents' house. And it's like, well, we always go to my grandmother's house. Like, no, we're going to my parents' house. You know, we always go to Mama's house. And I remember just like this shock and awe of, what are you talking about? So I remember feeling like, well, I guess we're going. We always go to Mama's house. And so we go. And then, you know, after we go there, then we head to mine. And by that time, it's evening time. You know, we were a smaller family.
Yeah.
So, you know, your family, your mother had a lot of siblings.
Extended,
you know,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it was a big thing. So by the time we drive 60 miles back, you know, my family, my parents, they already ate. They were done. And I remember just feeling so slighted, like, like, wow, okay, they're already ready for bed. And here we are. And, you know, so I remember just, you know, there's those things that you never really didn't think about.
Yeah.
You know, by the time it got to Christmas, it was pretty much the same thing again.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where we really had to that's something we just didn't think about. And there's things as you come through, you know, the beginning of your marriage and that you don't really think about because you just love.
Yeah.
You over everywhere to go, I'll go with you. But just don't say Christmas.
Yeah.
Just don't say Thanksgiving. We're good. You know, you can have any other holiday, Memorial Day or whatever. But I think there was things in that aspect were opportunities for us to have those nice discussions.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they're not
time,
nice at that point.
They weren't nice at that time, you know, but there were things, you know, things like that that sometimes people don't think is a big deal.
Yeah.
But as you are blending into, you find there's things that you're having to give.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, so for some people, they have no say
mm-hmm.
in the marriage. You know, there's, this is what we're doing. We've done it for the past 20, 30 years. And a lot of times people will get into the relationship and they're, everything is yes. Okay, yes. Oh, I don't care. No big deal. I just want to be with you.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, as you would always go to your parents' house.
Yeah.
And we're always going there. We always go to the same place. And I've seen, we've seen marriages that became a growing bitterness to where, I mean, I know I have friends that is still, we just still don't. It's such a soreness that it creates a conflict, not only with you, then you have children.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring that into the kids, the children world, and then it just kind of keeps growing to where you have the bitterness and you have resentment.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're not fulfilling my needs.
Yeah.
You want, we always, now it turns from, it was good to, we always do what you want to do.
Right.
And so it's like, what are those things that, what's coming up when those things happen? What do you, I mean, what, how do we resolve those?
Yeah. I mean, I think again, like we said, having those, you know, having those discussions, and you're absolutely right. What you don't want to happen in a relationship is where one person is always deferring.
Controlling
it. Well, you know, they'll say, oh, I'm not controlled. But it's like, and it's not hard to have one person who's more dominating, who's more just in terms of keeping the calendar and keeping the schedule, and another person just saying, oh, that's fine, whatever you want to do. And that's fine maybe the first year or two, and then all of a sudden, it does. It grows. And that's why the relationship, you have to really look at each other and make sure, is everybody saying what they're thinking and feeling? I remember having this conversation with somebody. It's been a long, long, long time. It was 30 years ago, you know, and I remember having this conversation with this man who I didn't, he was just, he was on his own just telling everybody, me and my wife are this and that. He's like, man, we've never had an argument. And I mean, I knew, I was like, yeah, because you never let her talk. You never give her, everybody knew that she never had a say in anything. He pretty much was bossing around and everything was his way. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there was never an argument because she was afraid of him. She was afraid to speak her mind. She was afraid to say what she felt. She was afraid to give an opinion. She was afraid. It was just whatever he said went. Mm-hmm. And yeah, life is wonderful when everything is what you want.
Right.
But, you know, how long, I mean, I don't know where they're at today. It, you know, but I would imagine if they're still together that hopefully at some point she said, hey, look, I need to, you know, I want to do something too. You know, I want to live too. You have to have a relationship where the two of you are having those conversations and you just don't want it to be one person driving everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's good.
Right.
You know, I've seen marriages where, you know, where one spouse is just really good at handling the budget and handling the finances and handling the scheduling, and it's still not good because they're also carrying the weight.
Right. Yeah, I find it's important to, sometimes you don't know that that's the person's strength. Going, I didn't know when we got married. You know, it was kind of, became clear that you were the one that did better with the finance books than I did. You know, I just like the cards.
And but you took it for a season.
I did.
I mean, we both had.
I think we kind of found that there was seasons of times where I would carry it.
Yeah.
And then we would have our discussions, especially when we, you know, started having children as well.
Yeah.
There's lots of things that begin to shift. And a lot of times when we do have those expectations or unmet expectations, And then as you begin to even create your family, you begin to have, whereas things have to, the balance is different.
Yeah.
And, but what I really found important, you know, in our marriage was as we grew and began to learn.
Yeah.
To learn what were our strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Something shifted, and I found that it was when I began to have my own personal encounter with God, of who I was, and that you weren't against me, and that when you had to say no, or when the no, when it wasn't the no, it was really not yet, or later, or it was no, that sometimes it's easy to think that when you hear those words, that the person is trying to hold you back, or they just don't want you to move on. Or, and when I began to have my personal encounters and finding out really who I was, that because there was times that I felt like he's just want to have all the good stuff, and it's always you making the decision, not me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to see your relationship that way. You see your relationship with God that way. You see your relationship with people that way. I mean, it can, it just grows.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I began to have really these encounters with the Lord of discovering who I was. When I know who he was and how the Father seen me, it, and the dynamics of just, you know, the fruits of the Spirit beginning to grow in me, I no longer seen you as someone that was trying to stop me or that didn't want to see the best in me. You know, there's those things that happen that as your relationship grows and your family grows, that you kind of find yourself getting lost in what your purpose is. And it doesn't feel like it's balanced at times. Like, yeah. I'm always home with the kids and you get to go out. And yeah. You have all these different things that happen because you're growing a family, or you're maybe something people may not have families, but their dynamic changes throughout marriage, throughout the years. And it's easy to become lost if you don't have, continue to have the connection of who you are in the Lord and really desiring to see the best, think the best, hope the best, want the best for your spouse or for your children.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what really began to shift to me.
Yeah.
You know, in our marriage of just, because we would have, you know, just have those, we would have conflicts.
Yeah.
You know, we started pastoring young. We had children at the same time.
Yeah.
We had a lot of things that by the time of 26, 27, we already had three kids and we were pastoring.
Yeah.
And so when we have all those different dynamics going on, it requires adjustments. It requires coming back to the table and having conversations. And you see less and less of using the word, it's not fair.
Yeah.
It shifted to where you really were wanting the best for me and our family.
Yeah, and you the same with me.
Yeah.
And it took time to see that on both sides, and and I think that's part of the growth. I think we're running out of time. Maybe we can just keep, we're here in Dallas, as you're listening, and what we'll do maybe is go ahead and stop here, and we'll just pick up the conversation and conclude it, keep talking, and play that next week.
I think that'd be good, because I know we wanted to talk about dealing with family.
Yes, we
and
do.
And how family secrets can cause us to not see who we are in Christ.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, thank you. We love y'all. And we'll be back next week. Continue our conversation.
G-Talk is a ministry of Hope for You International, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find us on the web at thankfultoday.com and gtalk.info. You can also find us on Facebook at The Thankful Today.